Hey, it's Steph, and welcome to the Straight Up with Steph podcast, where we have real discussions around health and life and just trying to be better at both. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up with Steph. I'm Steph, your host, practicing dental hygienist and ergonomic specialist. Have you ever wondered what you look like when you're working? Not what your patient looks like, what you look like. When I ask people this, they say Quasimodo, hunchback, humpback whale, because they know that they're hunched over their patients. I've had the opportunity to assess a lot of clinicians over the past few years doing my individual ergonomic assessments. During these assessments, I'm able to watch clinicians while they work. I'm taking photos, taking notes, taking video. By the way, there is nothing more powerful than seeing yourself in a photo when you're working. It's like when you see a candid picture of yourself that you didn't realize somebody was taking a photo, and then you see yourself and you're like, oh my God, is that what I look like? Like, photos don't lie. By doing a bunch of these assessments, I've noticed some common habits that a lot of us do. Whether you're a dentist, hygienist, or assistant, a lot of us are doing these same five mistakes. What I've done for today's podcast is put together my top five list, the top five most common ergonomic mistakes in the operatory. It's my belief that if we're aware of these habits and we start to work on them, we're going to be in pretty good shape ergonomically, and hopefully we'll start to experience less pain and less fatigue. These are the top five ergonomic mistakes that I see in dental clinicians. I'm going to list them off, but we're going to go in depth into each one of them. You can also skip forward in chapters if you want to and just go to the one you want to learn about, or just listen all the way through. These aren't in any particular order. We have not establishing neutral posture, twisting and reaching, not taking micro breaks, improper patient positioning, and excessive grip. Let's break these down. The first one is neutral posture. Although I said that they're in no particular order, I do think this is the most important thing for us to master in the operatory. Because once you learn what neutral posture is, what it looks like, what it feels like, you can almost be your own ergonomic coach and figure out things in your operatory, whether they support you in neutral posture or not. So my first podcast episode, which I'll link down below, we did go into neutral posture quite a bit. I'm not going to go that far in depth today, but I'll talk about the highlights. What we want when we're learning neutral posture is to make sure that we have equipment in our operatory and things that can be adjusted to support us in neutral posture. So I'll just give you a really easy example. If I've taught you what neutral posture is and you know what it is and you know what it feels like, and you've got something way up on the top shelf that you need to repeatedly grab for, is that supporting you in neutral posture, doing this, reaching up? If you're not watching on YouTube, I'm just reaching way above my head like I'm grabbing something. Is that neutral posture? No, that's not supporting you. So what you want to do is bring that thing down and put it close to you so it's a really easy reach, and that is supporting you in neutral posture. I hope that helps. So let's talk about what neutral posture is. Starting from the top, we want our ear in line with our shoulder. Imagine yourself from the side. You want your ear to be vertically stacked on top of your shoulder. For most of us, that means moving our head horizontally back towards our spine, because typically we're forward. We're in something called forward head position, where the ear is inches out in front of the shoulder, which isn't good. It's not surprising, though, if you think of cell phones, laptops, and our patients, most of us have to hunch over in order to look at those things. Ideally, in neutral posture, we want our ear in line with our shoulder. Moving down, that should be in line with the hip. And if you're standing, that should be in line with your foot. So if you're standing up and I asked you to get into neutral posture, I should be able to come and put a yardstick up next to you, and it would hit your ear, shoulder, hip, and foot all at the same time. When you're seated, the concept is pretty much the same. You want your ear in line with your shoulder and your hip, but now you want your feet flat on the floor. You don't want to be up on your tippy toes. You don't want your legs crossed or your ankles crossed. You don't want one foot on the floor and one foot up on the caster of the chair. You want them both flat on the floor. And ideally, your hips above your knees. I did an episode on stools, and I talked about traditional versus saddle stools and the importance of having your hips above your knees. And I'll link that down in the description below as well. Your arm position. So we all probably got yelled at in school by having the chicken wing, right? Having our arms like way out from our sides. We don't want to do that. We do want our arms pretty close to our sides, and then our elbows bent at about 90 degrees. So that is a really good neutral posture. I have numerous posts on my Instagram and my Facebook describing neutral posture. I have videos on that, so you can check that out as well. That is a really good, stable foundation for us. Neutral posture is so important because it's the position where we have the most support with the least amount of muscle engagement. That's the name of the game. We do not want to be using our muscles and our soft tissue to hold us up and resist gravity. That's what our skeleton is for. Our bones are nice and thick and hard, and they don't fatigue. So if we're standing or sitting in neutral posture, we can hold that position for a really long time because our bones aren't going to get tired. But what happens when we start to, quote unquote, break neutral, like the chicken wing? My skeleton is not holding up my arm and chicken wing. It's the soft tissue and the ligaments and the tendons and the nerves trying to hold up my arm and resist gravity. That's not what that system is designed for. Our musculoskeletal system is meant to help us move through space dynamically, like moving around, not holding us in these really awkward positions like the chicken wing all day. That's why neutral posture is so important. When we're not practicing in neutral posture, we are asking our musculoskeletal system to do a job it is not designed for. And it's like, no wonder we start to develop pain and fatigue because we're using a system incorrectly. We need to get back and start using our skeleton to hold us up and resist gravity. The second ergonomic mistake or mistakes is twisting and reaching. I lump those together because they typically happen simultaneously, but I'll talk about each one. Let's talk about twisting. What I'm talking about is twisting from the low back. Like if you're twisting to work on your patient or you're twisting to grab instruments or supplies, we do not want to be twisting from the low back. When I'm coaching people chair side, I tell them you want to be squared up. No matter what surface you're working on, if you're working on your computer, if you're in sterilization, if you're working on your patient, you always want to be squared up. And what I mean by that is your head, shoulders, hips, legs, feet, torso, everything is pointed in the same direction. What happens in a twist is typically we've got our legs pointed one way and then we're twisting our torso to grab something or work on our patient. And then twisting back, we really want to avoid that twist. Something I used to do, I have not always been ergonomic, by the way. That's why I started learning about this was because of my own issues and my own pain. But back in the day, I was working at an office for almost 10 years, and I would do this thing I don't know how many times a day times 10 years. I was facing my patient, and then I had my bracket table with my instruments and my air water behind me. What I would do, and if you're not watching this on YouTube, I'll try to explain so it makes sense. But what I would do is just twist from my low back, twist around, grab what I needed, and then twist back towards my patient, constantly twisting. Twisting to one side, however many times a day times 10 years, certainly didn't help the issues that I ended up with. So you always want to be squared up. That's another reason why I really like stools like saddle stools, because they're very easy to pivot around in them. It's a little bit more tedious, kind of clumsy to do that in a traditional chair, but with saddle stools, it's really easy. Always try to be squared up no matter what you're doing. Now with reaching, we are going to have to reach for things. If I told you to just have your arms glued to your sides with your elbows bent at 90 degrees all day, like you wouldn't be able to get everything done. That's not realistic. We are going to have to reach for things. We want to be smart when we're reaching. So I tell people, keep your most frequently used items within very easy reach. An easy reach is where you do not have to fully extend your arm and engage your elbow. An easy reach is just a quick reach where you're not having to straighten out your entire arm. So that might be your handpiece. It might be your air water. It might be your Cavitron or your piezo. It might be your suction, like whatever it is that you're using most frequently, keep that really close to you. So it's a very easy reach. When we're constantly reaching that full arm extended reach, I've seen people do this 40, 50, 60 times during 1 hour. That was 1 hour out of their 8 to 10 hour day. If we're constantly doing that, that's an elbow, rotator cuff, neck injury waiting to happen, and it is completely preventable. That's why I have an issue with the overhead light. My solution for using the overhead light is to not use it, and that not everybody agrees with that, and that's fine. But headlamps, I think, are superior to the overhead light. You have a brighter light. It's fixed to you, so you don't have to worry about shadowing or getting in the way. They're very lightweight now, especially if you're using them with ergonomic loops. And you're not having to constantly reach up and adjust that overhead light. Doing this, I'm just reaching up above me if you're not watching this. doing this constantly all day long, that is a rotator cuff injury waiting to happen. So I strongly encourage people to use headlamps. I have recommended for people who do not want to use a headlamp, if they really want to use the overhead light, make sure that you're pulling it really, like if you're standing, pulling it close to where you think you're going to need it with your patient. And then when you go to lean your patient back, it's just a quick little adjustment. Also, for more petite clinicians, I will recommend that they actually almost do like a half squat and get up off of their chair to grab their light and move it. So they're using their legs more than they're using this overhead reach of their arm. But again, those aren't even great solutions. I recommend using a headlamp. Another thing with reaching is we want to avoid cross-body reaching. So you want to keep your right arm on your right and your left arm on your left. What we want to avoid doing is reaching across the midline with either arm and grabbing something that's far away from us. I see this a lot with clinicians who are working alone in something called a rear delivery system. If you don't know what a rear delivery system is, it's when the air water, the suction, the platform or table for instruments is all behind the patient, typically off to one side. This is great for aesthetics. It's pretty. It's not intimidating for the patient because they don't see a bunch of like instruments laying around. But this is a nightmare for people who are working alone in there. It's great for four-handed dentistry, not so great for single clinicians because they are constantly, if I've got my bracket table with my suction and my air water and my instruments to my left and I'm right-handed, what is the tendency? The tendency is to take my right hand, reach all the way across my body, grab my instruments and come all the way back over. And that's what I see time and time again with people working in rear delivery systems. A better option for that, I'm going to use this little remote here. In my remote, I know you can't see it, but it's on just a little table over here. Instead of doing this, where I'm reaching across my body to grab the remote and coming back, and really I'm reaching and twisting, okay? So it's not good. What we want to do is a hand pass. I want to take my hand that's closest to the remote, pick up the remote, and then pass it to my working hand, and then pass it back. That's a hand pass. This definitely helps with rear delivery systems. It's a weird habit to get into, but it really does help prevent all of that reaching and twisting. But you can use it whatever delivery system you have. Just try to prevent the crossbody reaching and the full arm extended reach. Third ergonomic mistake is not taking micro breaks. So when I do my assessments, a lot of clinicians, and I see them, they are stretching. But it's for a second here, a second there, like maybe they'll do a little something and then get back to work. How I recommend micro breaks is much more strategic than that. But let me explain to you what happens to our body when we're working. I'm going to do the chicken wing because everybody knows what it is, whether you're watching this or not. And most people are guilty of it at some point. When I'm out here in chicken wing, again, going back to neutral posture, my bones are not holding up my arm. What's holding up my arm is the tiny little muscles in my shoulder and in my neck and the tendons and ligaments. That's not what they're designed for. So my muscles here are working to hold up my arm. The longer a muscle is contracted, you have pressure that's building up on the inside of that muscle and it cuts off blood flow. And we all know that blood carries oxygen and nutrients and removes waste products. If I'm out here in chicken wing and I've got my muscles in my shoulder and in my neck working overtime, trying to hold up my arm and resist gravity, it's going to start to fail. It's not getting the blood that it needs. So I'm going to start to feel pain. I'm just going to start to feel tightness, fatigue, and eventually even failure to where I can't even hold my arm up in the first place. In dentistry, we are not provided the luxury of recovering in between patients. I don't know about you, but when I go into the office, there is no time. Sometimes I don't even have time to go to the bathroom. Like it's back to back. We do not have time to recover. And that's a risk factor for us. We all know that when our body is at rest, it's able to repair and recover from whatever it was that we were doing. We don't have that luxury in dentistry, but what we do have is 20 seconds here and there where we can plug in a micro break. With these micro breaks, no matter which one you're doing, if it's a neck stretch or an arm stretch or like a back stretch, you want to make sure that you're holding it for at least 20 seconds. That's when the magic happens. That's when that pressure starts to reduce on the inside of the muscle. Blood can then flow back into the muscle. It can start healing the damage and carrying away some of those waste products. I recommend doing a micro break for 20 seconds every 20 minutes. Yes, this means that you'll be doing them while the patient is in the operatory with you. And it doesn't have to be like a weird thing. You can just slide up to the head of the patient, say you're going to type something into the computer or something, and take a micro break, take a little stretch. But make sure that you're holding it for 20 seconds. And it also, as an extra bonus, if you take some deep breaths through your nose, it calms you down. And it also provides more oxygen for your muscles that way. I have a whole playlist of micro breaks, which I will link down below. It's on my Instagram. I have my favorite micro breaks on that playlist. There's ones for the neck, for the traps, for the arms, for the low back. Really important that you do these. Side note, our upper traps, these muscles right here, are the most overworked muscle in dental clinicians. And if you think about how we practice, it's not surprising because we've got our shoulders up here. Sometimes our neck is forward. When our upper traps get dysfunctional and like rock hard, I mean, there's some muscles that we want to be rock hard. This is not one of them. When they start to get dysfunctional, you have all kinds of issues both above and below. So people can experience jaw pain, tension headaches, migraines. They could have issues with their trap, with their shoulder, with their mid to low back, with their hips, all because these upper traps are just too freaking tight. So my favorite micro break is on that highlight. And if you don't do any other micro breaks, which I don't recommend, but if you don't do any other ones, make sure that you do that one and hold it for 20 seconds and do one every 20 minutes. The fourth most common ergonomic mistake that I see is improper patient positioning. This is a whole topic. I need to just do a whole podcast episode on patient positioning itself, but we're just going to talk about the highlights today. If you think about our patient's position, their position dictates ours. And we want to make sure that we are able to practice in neutral posture. So we have to start taking the extra few seconds to properly position our patient. But some of us don't even know how to properly position our patient. A really good rule of thumb is when you are in the operatory chair side and you've established your neutral posture, remember your arms close to your sides with the elbows bent at 90 degrees. Look down at where your elbow is, and that's where you want the patient's mouth to be. You want your patient's mouth to be about parallel with your elbow when you're in neutral posture. What does that mean for 90% of clinicians? It means they need to lower their patient down more. This is something I see a lot, almost every day, where the patient is positioned too high. They can either be positioned way too high or even just a couple inches too high. Ergonomics is kind of like football, like it's a game of inches. And even lowering the patient down just a couple more inches makes a huge difference. If your patient's mouth is too high, this is when the shoulders up in the ears happens. This is when the chicken wing happens. This is when we start to do all of these really crazy, awkward things because our patient isn't in the correct position. We need to make sure that they're low enough. And the position between the upper and the lower arch is very different because we're placing the occlusal plane for the maxillary in a completely different area than we do for the lower arch. But we need to start being deliberate with this because we need to take care of ourselves. I am going to do an episode on patient positioning, but let me just go over some highlights with you. We recline the patient down into full supine. That's what we need to do for the upper arch. For the upper teeth, we basically want the patient's chin way up towards the ceiling. And when I do my episode, I'll explain this a little bit more, but shorthand, you want the chin way up towards the ceiling. If you've got your patient laying fully supine and their mouth is open, you want to imagine a vertical line going through their face and those maxillary teeth be behind that vertical line. I know that's kind of hard to visualize. I am going to link a post that I did with a picture that shows what I'm talking about. But you want the maxillary teeth to be behind that vertical line. For the lower arch, the positioning is completely different. So you want to raise the patient from supine up to a more semi-supine position. You basically want their chin knotted towards their chest. And this time you want, and I'll link another post so that you can see what I'm talking about, but this time you want the maxillary teeth to be either close to or in front of that vertical line. So completely different than the upper arch. But this places the mandibular teeth in the correct position so that you can visualize and still have a nice neutral posture. For patient positioning, I recommend using the headrest. If you have one of those adjustable headrests, that can be your ergonomic best friend when you're adjusting your patient. I do recommend cervical cushions. One, it helps the patient be comfortable. A comfortable patient is a compliant patient, usually. And depending on what side you're using, and how you place them, it actually gets the patient's occlusal plane, whether it be the upper or the lower, in the right place for us. So I will go over technique on that later podcast episode when we talk about cushions. When we're offering our patients cushions or blankets, headphones, even TV, movies, music, it's giving them the sense that we're going above and beyond, because we are. We do care about their comfort, but they will also reciprocate. And if they feel like we're caring for them and we're going above and beyond to make them comfortable, they're going to be much more compliant with us when we have to, like, tip them all the way back into supine, even if they don't want to. Also, directing your patient. This is something I noticed too. Not everyone is comfortable directing their patient. We need to get over that, frankly, because we have to get our patients help, like having them tip their chin up or chin down or moving their head side to side. We need to get their help so that we can better treat them. We know that the dental office isn't the patient's most favorite place, and so we don't want to ask them to do anything more than what we're already asking them. It's for their benefit, really, that we're directing them and having them move, because we're able to see better, we can be more efficient, and it's helping us too with our posture and our ergonomics. So don't be afraid to direct your patient. I also have a video-based on-demand patient positioning course. It goes step-by-step how to use these cushions, how to position your patient for the upper to lower arch. And there's some other bonus techniques in there as well. I'll link that down below in the description. And then the last ergonomic mistake is excessive grip. Now, I just did a whole podcast episode on that, which I will link down in the description. I'll give you the highlights for that today. Most of us in dentistry are holding on to things with a kung fu grip, that we just don't need to be doing that. Just think about how often you're gripping things. You're holding on to your suction, your handpiece, your air water, your syringe, your scalers, your ultrasonic, whatever it is. We are holding things all day, but we need to monitor how much force we're using when we're holding on to those things. Most of the time, we're using way too much force, whether we're holding on to our instruments or holding on to the air water. And what happens with that, it puts a lot of strain in the hand, leads to a lot of hand fatigue. But what it does is it tightens up these forearm muscles. As they get really short and really tight, they start to pull on the tendons and ligaments in the wrist and in the elbow. And then people start to develop symptoms of carpal tunnel, tennis elbow, wrist tendonitis, all because these forearm muscles are too tight because our grip is too strong. So when you're holding on to something, make sure you're using as light a grip as possible without dropping the thing. And this is a weird habit to get into, because you've probably been gripping things this way for years, and it's going to take some time to break that habit. Another thing too is to make sure that you're using ergonomic instruments. What I mean when I say ergonomic instruments is you want the handle to be nice and wide. You want it to be fat. You want it to be textured, and you want it to be lightweight. So fat, textured, lightweight handle. I do see this with like hygiene instruments or even dental instruments for doing composites or whatever. They are wide handled instruments, but I still see almost every time I do an assessment, those skinny, heavy mirror handles. And I don't understand why we're keeping those around. Our non-dominant hand is even under more strain than our dominant one, because it's typically holding on to something. It's retracting a really strong cheek or a strong tongue. We're out here in chicken wing and we're pinching something way too tight. When you have something that is narrow and that's heavy, you have to use a lot more pinch force to hold on to that versus something lightweight and fat. So if you have any of those skinny metal mirror handles laying around, I strongly encourage you to get rid of them, maybe shove them in a drawer for a rainy day, and invest in some of these wider handled mirrors. There's all kinds of companies that have them. Just make sure that they're wide, light, and textured. Those are the top five ergonomic mistakes that I see as a ergonomic specialist. Not establishing neutral posture, twisting and reaching, not taking micro breaks, improper patient positioning, and excessive grip. These are the things that I coach people the most on. And if you start to become more aware of this, you're going to be in really good shape ergonomically. If you're finding this content helpful, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, follow my show, leave me a review, send me a DM. I really appreciate you being here, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Straight Up with Steph and being interested in living better. What many listeners do is subscribe to the podcast, because that allows them to automatically get the latest episodes of the show. Remember, you are the best person to take care of you, and by learning what we talk about on this show, you're taking one more step to being a healthier and happier you. I'll talk to you soon.